Good morning. It's good to have Dave Hauser here. I'd like to introduce him. Dave, if you would come on up. Got to know Dave growing up at Willow Street Mennonite Church. If we had taken a vote back then, I think we would have voted him least likely to travel to far-flung places around the world. But God works in mysterious ways and takes us on paths we often don't suspect. Dave and his wife, Summer, and daughters, Kate, Sarah, and Ethan, the son, Ethan, currently serve in Thailand with Youth with a Mission, hereafter known as YWAM. We look forward to hearing from you, Dave. And there will be a basket at the back if you'd like to support their ministry in Thailand. So blessings to you, I'd like to pray with you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Dave. Thank you for his family. Please bless them in their travels. Give them good health. We pray for his ministry there. And we pray for the words that he's about to share with us this morning, that they would be a blessing to us and a blessing to him as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. And good morning. Well, there's so many places that I could start and so many things that I could say. That was a good introduction. I was least likely to travel. I grew up in Lampeter, and my father grew up in Lampeter, and he's lived in 5 houses in his lifetime, all on the same road, all within about 2 miles of each other. And so I figured I'd probably do about the same, you know, maybe an extra mile or two, but keeping it pretty much right there. I went to school just basically over the hill from the house I grew up in, and yeah, now we live on the other side of the world. But I thought I'd start this morning at the end. Usually, well, not always, but a lot of times we start at the beginning and try to go kind of chronologically through things. But I thought, let's start in the end and then kind of work our way backwards. So if you go to the next slide here, this verse in Revelation chapter 7 has been a verse that I've always really appreciated to kind of give direction or give some focus or give some expectation to the things that I'm involved in. So in Revelation chapter 7, John is seeing this picture of after everything is over, what's left, what happens in eternity. And he says, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. And they were from every nation, every tribe, every people, and every language. And they were standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. And so this is an encouragement to us in everything that we do. We're now living in Thailand. Before that, I lived in India. And it's hard to imagine sometimes that there will be people from every tribe or from every language standing before the throne of God. There are so many languages in India. It's such a complicated place linguistically. People used to ask me when we would come back for visits, do you speak Indian? And I'd kind of smile because there's no such thing as just speaking the one language of India. There's at least 1,600 languages spoken in India and quite a few more than that depending on who's counting. They say the number they come up with depends on the kind of ministry they're doing. If they're printing things, then they count the languages that people read. If they're doing something for the radio, they're counting the languages that people listen to and understand, and they come up with different numbers. So it's very complicated. But anyway, there will be people from every language in front of the throne of God. And so if you go to the next slide, 2 chapters before that, there's this picture where John sees this scroll, and there's a seal on it, and no one can open it. And it says that John wept because there was no one worthy to open the scroll or look inside. And then one of the elders says to him, do not weep. And then he looks, and he says, I saw a lamb looking as if he had been slain. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased men for God, from every nation, every tribe, every people, every language. And so Jesus has paid the price for people from every nation, tribe, and tongue, and he will receive worship from every nation, tribe, and tongue. So how do we get there from here? How do we get to this picture from where we are today? Because there's not people from every nation, tribe, and tongue worshiping Jesus today. And so if you go to the next slide, one of the answers to the question of how do we get there from here is what we refer to as the Great Commission. So we've been talking about this a little bit lately. What does the Great Commission actually say? And so I went back through some of my notes. I'm involved in a lot of missions training. I was involved with a lot of missions training in India, training young people there who were going into places like China and Bhutan to share the gospel with people. And so I made this next slide to kind of compare what did Jesus say in the Great Commission. And these are kind of the three main Bible verses or passages that people look at when they talk about the Great Commission: Matthew 28, Mark 16, and Acts chapter 1. Now, if I'm not too nervous, I might be able to remember them and say them, but then sometimes I mess up my memorization a little bit. So we'll, now that I said that, I made more pressure. Okay, so Matthew 28 is the one where Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go into all the world, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I will be with you even to the end of the age." I might have missed a sentence in there, a phrase, I don't know. So I made this chart to kind of say, like, how does he start out? So he starts in Matthew and Mark, he starts with the word go. Mark 16, it says, go into all the world, preach the good news to all creation. Or depending on your translation, it might say, preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature, all creation. And then it's that has the famous verses where it says, and these signs will accompany those who believe. They will tread on scorpions and snakes and drink deadly poison and not be harmed and things like that. So one of our friends said, you should read this to your children because you live in Thailand and there's snakes in Thailand. And I said, I don't want my children to pick up snakes. I mean, I like the verse, but I'm kind of, as a parent, you know, I like it when my kids don't like snakes. And so one time we had a snake in our house, and my daughter came to me and she said, Daddy, there's a snake in the house. And I thought, what kind of joke, you know, whose children play jokes like this? And how were they raised that they would think of this? And then I didn't really do anything, and she came back and she started shaking my arm. She said, Daddy, you have to come right now. There's a snake in the house and it's green. And I thought, well, if she's talking about colors, this might be a real thing. So I had to go down, and my wife told me it's over there. And I said, well, in Thailand, you always have to take off your shoes when you come in the house. I said, I think I'm going to put shoes on. She said, okay. So I went and I put my shoes on, and she said, okay. It hasn't come out yet, so it's over there. I said, what do I need? What do I take with me into the corner over there? She said, whatever you want. Just get it quickly. And then when I didn't know this is what was going to happen, but once I was ready and went into the room, she came out and shut the door. And she went outside and looked in the window to watch what I was going to do. Anyway. So we haven't been picking up a lot of snakes in Thailand. I won't tell you how that story yet. Well, should I? I don't know. Gets kind of dangerous. Everybody has different feelings and emotions towards different creatures. So anyway, the snake is not in our house anymore. Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. So if you go to the next slide, this was my question for the people in the missions training that I was involved in. If Jesus said in all of these different places, if you kind of add it all up, if he said all the world to the ends of the earth, all nations, every creature, all creation, who is left out? Who was Jesus thinking to leave out when he said all of these things? And then what does this mean for us in our lives now? And I would kind of talk to them about, in Northeast India where I lived, there was certain people groups or tribes that people didn't like or respect as much. And so I would say, is there a translation? Do any of you, we all have a different Bible translation and different copies. Does any of you, when you look these up, do you find a verse where Jesus said, go into all the world and share the gospel with all of creation except for the Bengalis? And this could go for any, wherever we're from, or wherever, whatever we were taught. I think when I was a kid, it was the Soviets or something, or the Muslims, or the Syrians, or the Lebanese, or it just depends on where you're from. If you're from somewhere else, it might be the Americans. I don't know. But there's always people that we think are other than us or separated from us. And when I was talking to my father about this one time, he was saying that when, I don't know if it was when he was a kid or as a young adult, but there was kind of this idea that we'd gone as far as we can go with the Great Commission. China was closed, the Iron Block was closed, there was all of these places that we couldn't go, or it wasn't going to happen, we prayed and nothing changed, or whatever it was, and there was kind of this idea that we'd done what we could. And history's changed a lot in the last 5 minutes, and in the last 5 years, and in the last 50 years. And I have a book that I used to use to pray for the different countries of the 1040 window, the countries that are the least reached with the gospel. And as I was paging through it, it would say the history. And it seemed like half of the countries listed there had their independence in 1948, and the other half were in 1991. I'm sure those percentages aren't exact, but history can change very quickly, and it's changing all the time. And doors that seem closed suddenly become open. And there was 1991, there was an open door into Mongolia. And some believers went in there and they said there was 4 known believers in all of Mongolia. And it has been changing very rapidly. And it's only a country of a few million people or less than that. Today, if you compare by population, the country that sends out the most missionaries compared to their population is Mongolia. Or maybe it's if you compare it to the number of believers, because there's still so few believers there. It's in the thousands, but it would be few compared to America or England or something. But they're starting to go into other countries with the gospel. One of the few countries that you can go from to travel into North Korea is from Mongolia. They're very open to receiving Mongolians and Mongolian believers. I won't say too much. Is this recorded? I don't want to give away any secrets, but there's some great things happening in the world. Okay, what's the next slide here? So we were talking about this, my wife and I, and we were talking about this title called Jesus, the Hope of the Nations. And then I said, what Bible verse is that from? And I went to look it up, and I didn't find it. Sometimes the Bible doesn't say what I thought it did or what I thought it should, but it says what it says, and then I have to receive it. But I was looking at this chapter, Romans chapter 15, and I found this verse that it says what I thought, but just the wording was a little bit different. Talking about the nations or the Gentiles will hope in him, will hope in Jesus. And as I was reading through this passage and looking at the verses before it, it says over and over about the Gentiles glorifying God. And starting in verse 9, it says, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing hymns to your name. Verse 10, it says again, it says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And there's all of these quotes from the Old Testament, and in, at least in the translation I was reading in the New Testament it says, the Gentiles will praise him. Rejoice, O Gentiles. Verse 11 says, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to him, all you peoples. But I looked up the verses that it's quoting that are from the Old Testament, and it actually quotes 2 Samuel, Psalms, Deuteronomy, and Isaiah. Four different books of the Bible written hundreds of years apart, maybe thousands of years apart, and all four of them are talking about, it says here, the Gentiles, but if I look it up in my translation, the Old Testament verses say the nations. And so for the Jewish understanding, the Gentiles were the other nations. It's just everybody except for them, basically. So when it says the Gentiles will hope in him, it means all the other people outside of us are going to know him. They're going to praise him. Rejoice, all you other people of the world outside of us. Rejoice in him. Worship him. Know him. Follow him. And then it says in verse 12, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him. And then this amazing verse, verse 13, I think it's the next slide. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so my wife and I started talking about hope and just what a good thing it is to have hope. And how much hope means to us, and how important it is in our lives. And then we started talking about, on the next slide, this next verse from Psalm 42, which is kind of a famous verse. Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, my Savior and my God. And we're talking about how hope isn't just kind of a natural thing that automatically springs up in us all the time. Of course, there are some people who are more optimistic than others, and they always seem to be happy. I had one friend who used to say, I've never had a bad day. I said, well, that's strange. Well, what happens if this happens? Well, it could have been worse. That was always his answer. I said, well, what if, you know, I started making up things? Well, it could have been two. Well, what if it was two? It could have been 10 things went wrong. I said, okay, I get the pattern here, so I'll stop. I didn't want to take it too far. I thought of some more questions to ask, but I thought I better not get too detailed with this conversation. But it's not always natural for everybody just to suddenly have hope for things. It's not natural for me living in Thailand to just have hope for Thailand all the time. Because we see all around us, there's Thai people that don't know Jesus. Millions of them. And the majority of the people in Thailand don't know Jesus, don't know the gospel, don't know what it's even all about. And so hope doesn't just naturally happen. Oh, everything's going to be better one day. And that's true here in Pennsylvania. It's true in America. It's true all over the world. There's people who struggle to have hope. And so we do, like the writer here says, he's telling himself, put your hope in God. He's reminding himself, I need to put my hope in God. And in Romans, it talks about how the God of hope will fill us with joy and peace as we trust in him. And the nations will hope in him. The Gentiles will hope in him. And sometimes we get this idea that the verses that I showed from the Great Commission talk about all nations, but the Bible talks about all nations. Over and over again, from Genesis to Revelation, all nations, all peoples, all families of the earth, all the tribes, all the languages, it's over and over and over throughout the Bible. So if we go to the next slide, these are my daughters. I'm so proud of them. They're just pointing towards where we live. That's Thailand. And we live in Chiang Mai, which is a city in northern Thailand. I often apologize to people who have daughters because I tend to say that my daughters are the most beautiful, and it's my completely unbiased opinion. I've done a lot of research on this, and they're my favorite. But yeah, we live in Asia, and I lived 10 years in India. We've lived now in Thailand as a family for 7. So we've been in Asia for a long time. I know most of you probably don't know me, or maybe know a little bit about us, but I grew up here in Lancaster County, and have known Scott for as long as I can remember. His family was like a second family to my family. Outside of my own house, I probably spent more time in their house than anybody else's that I can remember. And his younger brother and I were close in age and kind of did everything together growing up. My wife is from California. We have a really normal story. You'll hear stories like this all the time wherever you go. But I grew up in Pennsylvania. My wife grew up in California. We met in India, and we now live in Thailand. We meet people all the time that, oh, yeah, that's so normal. We just... if you go to the next slide, we work with YWAM in Thailand. This is YWAM Thailand last year at our conference. I think there's over 500 now. I didn't count on this picture. I am in this picture. The only way I can find myself is that they gave us all T-shirts that are matching, but my son is on my shoulders, and he has a non-matching shirt on. Right there. That's me and my son. And then my daughters are here. So anyway, it's very confusing. But there's over 500 people now in YWAM Thailand, and more than half of them are Thai. And so this gives us hope that we see good things happening in Thailand, and the more local people we get involved in the work, the more we know things continue to take off. And so as foreigners, we feel like a major part of our calling is to invest in local people. Living in Asia, if you go to the next slide, we often meet people who don't know the gospel, who don't know Jesus. And so we tell them about him. We introduce him. This is me eating with 3 guys that are a part of an English class that I teach. And everyone that comes to the English class, they're all Buddhists. They're all non-believers. And most of them have really very little idea about the gospel or what the Bible says or what it means about anything. They know that there's this foreign thing that people do, but it means very little to them. So I've been sharing with them about him, and I've gotten chances as we go out and eat together and things like that to share, ask spiritual questions, talk about spiritual life, and talk to them about the good news. So that's been really, really exciting for us. Living in Asia, we also meet people who are already believers, but they don't know their real identity. And we tell them, you are valuable, you are loved by God, and he cares for you. So in the next picture, I was teaching in a missions training in the middle of Thailand, and the topic was about our identity in Christ. And so I was sharing with them the scripture references are written in Thai, but it says Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, that's where it says, it is by grace that we're saved through faith, not by works, lest anyone should boast. And in Ephesians 2:10 says, we are his workmanship, created to do good works in Christ Jesus. So I was telling them that their identity is not the same as their ministry. What we do is not who we are. Who we are is not determined by what job we have or how good at it we are, but our real identity is we're loved by our Father and we're children of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so that's also part of what we do living in Thailand. Okay, we also meet people who are called to be leaders, but they feel like they're inadequate. And so we tell them that we feel the same. And we encourage them that they can do it as they step out in faith. So we've been a part of different leadership trainings and things like that. The next slide is a picture of me with one of our friends who's a leader within YWAM Thailand. It's been a privilege to work alongside of him. I'm a member of the leadership team for Northern Thailand, for YWAM in Northern Thailand, and have been to many of the gatherings for YWAM Thailand, for the leadership of that. And it's our privilege to invest in the leaders, Thai leaders, who are stepping forward into what God has for them. We also meet people who are called cross-culturally, and they're called to reach to other nations and other tribes. And we tell them that they can do it, even if they feel like they can't. We talk about our own struggles living in a new culture and the adaptations, the new foods, the new languages, the new things we have to take on. And we encourage them in that. This is the next picture is a picture of my wife, Summer, the excessively beautiful one there in the middle. I'm sure they're all beautiful, but I have my favorite. So this is my wife. She was in India last year, and she was asked to meet with these women and start coaching some of them and doing phone calls with them from Thailand to India to encourage them in their ministry and into the things that God's calling them into. And so these are just some of the things that we do. Living in Asia, the next slide, I just wanted to share this to give you a picture. More people live inside of this circle than outside of it. And so we believe that what God's plans are for Asia are extremely important, and we believe that something needs to happen inside of this circle that will contribute to all of us. And we believe that as the glory of God comes more and more to this part of the world, it's going to change the whole world. If we go to the next slide, this is our prayer card. We have these in the back. There's a table. And we have one of these for each of you to take and put on your refrigerator or wherever you keep such things, but to pray for our family and to partner with us in what we do, and to be a part of what God is doing through your prayers. On the next slide, we also have these forms in the back where people can pledge to pray for us, receive our newsletters, be added to a Facebook group. I know a lot of people are leaving Facebook. Good. If you've left, then you don't need to come back for us. But we do use it as a way of communication with people who like to see updates there. And then also for our financial support, we've been trying to raise more monthly financial support. So these forms are in the back. And if you want to fill one out with your email address and things and you want to hear from us, we try to do newsletter updates by email as much as we can. Or if you want to put your address and have it mailed to you, we can do that so that you can see what we're doing in Thailand and continue to pray for us and partner with us. So those are also in the back. You can mail it to the address on there or give it to myself or to Scott. Okay, what's the next slide? Okay. Also in the back, we brought a gift for everyone. This is the cover of a booklet that we have in the back. It's 30 Days of Prayer for Thailand. If you go to the next slide, I don't know how many of you have seen these before, but every year there's a 30 Days of Prayer for the Muslim world. And this started about 25 years ago. This year was the 25th anniversary of when they started praying for the Muslim world for 30 days every year. The idea started from a meeting. That was a group of YWAM leaders. They were praying together in the Middle East, and they felt like God wanted them to start praying more for the Muslim world, and they came up with this idea, and they started putting these books together every year with different countries or different Muslim people groups to pray for. More Muslims have come to know Jesus in the last 25 years than in the previous 1,300 years. So God is really doing things in the nations, and he's really answering prayers. And some of our friends, we were talking about this in Thailand. Well, what about Thailand? What about the Buddhist world? It's not just that God wants to reach Muslims. Could we do something like this for the Buddhist world? And we decided that we could. So if you go to the next slide, there's 30 days of prayer. This is day 8. praying for broken families. There's so many broken families in Thailand. It's kind of the norm, and what we would call a traditional family is not normal. It's kind of the minority in Thailand. So it tells a story about a girl and her family and how Jesus healed their family and changed their relationships and brought them to himself, and then prayer points on the side to pray throughout the day for this issue. If you go to the next slide, this, I actually wrote this article. This is some information about the city of Chiang Mai where we live, and then the prayer points there for day 29. So there's 30 days of prayer for different topics, different places and people throughout Thailand, and we're really hoping and believing that God is going to change history in Thailand. Thailand is actually less than 1% Christian, and most of the Christians in Thailand are actually from Burma and have fled Burma because of war or different things that have happened there, persecution, and come to Thailand as refugees and settled there, and they make up the majority of the Christians in Thailand. So the Thai people, the Thai Buddhist people, have had very little response to the gospel and very few believers. So in closing, I just want to tell one story about prayer and to remind ourselves and to encourage ourselves to be praying for those who have never heard the gospel. I was sharing about unreached people groups several years ago in Lancaster County, in the church I grew up in. And I was sharing about this people group called the Mompa. The Mompa people had no known believers. There was a few Christians that lived in their city, but they were all from other places. And I knew some YWAMers who had moved there to work with them and to share the gospel with them. But there was they didn't know a single believer in the town. So in the whole world from that people group. So I was sharing about this here, and after I was done sharing, an older man named Glenn Herr came up to me and he said, "What was the name of that people group again?" And I said, "The Mompa." And he said, "The Mamba?" And I said, "The Mompa." And we were going back and forth, repeating it back and forth, M-O-N-P-A, Mompa, people group. And he was saying it over and over again, trying to get it so that he could pray for them. And I just remember thinking as he did that, these people are going to come to know Jesus. There is going to be a breakthrough. I'm praying for it. My friends are working for it. There's other people praying. And now Glenn Herr is there in Lampeter praying for them. And if you go to the next slide, when my wife was in India last year, she was asked to meet with these women and pray together with them. And this woman here is from the Mompa tribe. And she, sometime in the last 10 years, came to the Lord, somehow came into contact with YWAM, and has been trained and is now reaching her own people, the Mompa people. And I was just talking about this with somebody, and I just realized that Glenn Herr actually died about 7 years ago. And I was thinking about how we talk about how there's rejoicing in heaven when one person comes to Jesus. And I was just imagining Glenn Herr in heaven when she came to know Jesus and him being a part of the rejoicing there. And you and I can be a part of changing history in Thailand. And as we take these little booklets and pray through them, we're not just reading words on a page, but we're part of history. We're part of God's history. We're part of the destiny of the nations coming to know him. And I believe that our legacy is not just the things that we do, but it'll be the things that we prayed for. So let's pray together. And I want to pray, if you go to the next one, I want to pray through this idea of hope, that biblical hope is not based on what's possible with man. Biblical hope looks away from man to the promise and the person of God. And so I want to pray for this verse, Romans 15:13. That God would fill us with hope as we close. Lord, I thank you for this time this morning. I thank you for each person here and for their lives lived for you every day here in this place. And we pray for Thailand this morning that people would come to know you. We pray for the Mompa people this morning that you would increase what you've done there and bring more people to know you besides just this woman who my wife met last year. We ask that you would fill the nations with light and truth and bring many people to know you. And I ask you, Lord, the God of hope, that you would fill us with all joy and peace as we trust in you, so that we may overflow with hope by the power of your Holy Spirit. Would you work in our hearts today and give us more grace to follow you every day of our lives? In Jesus' name, amen. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.